This is Karina, and you're listening to Bold, Brown and British, a weekly podcast where we discuss what it means to be a brown person in a Western world. We've spoken about colorism, third culture identity, and dating, amongst many others in this podcast. So if this sounds like the type of content that you want to hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts from. You can also message us on Instagram. The handle is @BoldBrownAndBritish, or drop us an email via our website at www.boldbrownbritish.com. So without further ado, let's get on with this week's episode.
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
First of all, obviously, thank you so much for joining and taking. I know time differences cannot always be easy.
And thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here, and it's an absolute honor.
Yeah, you are our first kind of musician and artist on this podcast, so it's super exciting for me. Just for our listeners, do you want to kind of tell us a bit more about you?
Sure. So, hi, everybody. My name is Thea, and I am a singer and an artist. If you look on my social media, you'll see me doing covers, mostly of Bangla songs. And I also do little graphic art capturing elements of Bengali culture. So those are just two of the things I do. I recently had a single release in January of 2021. It was a remake of the song Milan Hobe Koto Dine, which is a Bengali folk song. It's a Lalon Giti. And I ended up covering that and collabing with a couple of my friends to put some rap in there and make it more modern or relatable to younger people. And I also teach voice lessons. So that's basically me on a nutshell.
That's amazing. Congratulations so much on your release. How long did that kind of take?
I mean, me and so the guys I collabed with are based in India. So the one who rapped is actually Sileti, but he's from the Indian part of Sylhet. Yeah. And so it was like on and off, right? Because we were like, you know, we would talk via WhatsApp, and then, you know, we would both get busy. So I feel like it was about a year that it took, but we weren't like working on it for a year. There would be like periods where we'd get stuff done and then we'd both get busy and then we'd start working on it again.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it can always be very difficult, and in remote circumstances, I guess, especially if they're based in India, was it all kind of recorded and done remotely?
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, I found them via social media. So the producer, he's actually based in Hyderabad, India. I just found him on social media. I was like, oh, his music's really cool. Let me just message him on Instagram. And he was super excited to work with me. And then I didn't realize that his, you know, friend is Sileti. And so his friend was like, I want to hop on this track. Like, this is super cool that this girl is doing Bangla folk song and my buddy's working on this. I want to add a rap to this in Bangla. And that's just kind of all how it happened. So yeah, we never met, which is crazy because I feel like I know them because I work so closely with them. But yeah, so we just sent our, I sent my vocals over, they made the track, sent it over to me, and then we just kind of worked on it like that, which was actually perfect because we happened to be going into like the COVID lockdown period. Anyways, I think people were adjusting to working remotely and we just happened to be in this situation. So I was like, why not take advantage of this?
Talking of social media, I obviously found you by intensely stalking your social media. I grew up loving and growing up with Bengali songs and, you know, hearing the kind of Rabindra Sangeets and the kind of very old, air quote, old Bengali songs playing in the background at, you know, my grands or my parents. And I always kind of, it has a very special place in my heart. And I was kind of looking for people that were kind of doing it. And I know that kind of led me to go on the rabbit hole of Instagram, where I found your, I guess, the piece where you did about describing the life cycle of somebody goes through, but in through songs, which is amazing. What kind of inspired that? Like, what made you be like, this is something I want to do.
So to be honest, I have similar experience as you. I grew up listening to Rabindra Sangeet. Like my mom she sings, and she would forcibly teach me Rabindra Sangeet when I was little. I didn't want to relearn that, but it was just kind of like, you're going to learn this. So like my entire life, I kind of shied away from Bangla music. I honestly didn't get back into it until just a couple of years ago. Like I'd been singing and I've been trained in music, and we can talk about that in a little bit. But so yeah, I was completely shying away from that. And I think on trips back to the motherland, and like you said, watching shows like Saregamapa, I was exposed to different types of Bangla music that I didn't know existed growing up. Like I just thought it was Rabindra Sangeet, and especially like I think for at least I can speak for myself, I don't know about other folks in the diaspora or other younger people who might be our age, like not our parents' generation, but I just found like, you know, the production and the way everything sounds, I guess at the age of like 8 compared to like, you know, you hear like pop music, like English pop music or Bollywood music, and then the way something's been produced in the 70s doesn't sound as appealing. They didn't even have the technology back then, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to kind of go on my own journey to find this music that is like, you know, I fell in love with Rabindra Sangeet by listening to some of the newer artists like make remakes that were just like 2 or 3 years ago, or some of the new songs coming out of the film industry. And then I kind of realized, like, I think in my caption I talk about, I did the life cycle thing because I was like listening to Bangla music that maybe didn't suit my taste, but I just didn't realize there was so much music out there. And I had only been exposed to music at a young age, and a lot of that was like children's music. Yeah. Like, you know, like things that like Phule Phule Dhole Dhole, like that's not even a children's song, but like kids sing it all the time, right?
Yeah.
And so I just like didn't even know there was like a world out there. And so I wanted to do this evolution through the life cycle stages, because I was like, you know, there's music, there's Bangla music for everything, and Bangla music and literature is so vast, but I think I was just unaware of it. So when I started exploring Bangla music again, I was either going back to things that my parents had listened to, what maybe didn't suit my taste, and my taste is very different than them, or I was trying to listen to songs I knew that I had sung when I was little. So I wanted to basically expose the diaspora to a type of, like, you know, the fact that music exists for anybody that's interested in any genre, anybody who is in any life cycle stage. You know, you don't listen to kids' music if you find that irritating and you're not a child anymore, don't have children. Maybe you don't want to listen to that. There is definitely other types of music out there.
That's so true. And I think what you said about Bengali music kind of being both isolating and vast is also, it can be true. I mean, I think there's a depth to kind of the traditional Bengali music, or even Bollywood music, actually, kind of, I guess, South Asian music that I often try and find, but can't quite, especially in the lyrics and the words and the kind of meaning behind it. You know, I like Coffee Houser is one of my most favorite songs, and nothing, like you can listen to that song years on and it still has the same, and it just instantly takes you back. And I think I don't know a lot of kind of Western songs that can do that to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that could be just because I've grown up with it, right? That's my kind of connections to it, and because I remember listening to it, you know, in particular moments, or in when I'm back like with my family, I always think in Bengali first. So I actually, it's weird, I think in Bengali in certain situations, and in English in other situations.
First of all, I love that you also think in Bangla and English in certain situations. I do too. And I haven't met a lot of people in the diaspora. They're like, I just mostly think in English. And I'm just
really?
Like, yeah. But I can't in certain situations. Like, I totally get you. But favorite artist or favorite song? No, that's so hard. You can't ask a musician that. But I will say that I do credit Arijit Singh for getting me back into Bangla music. I think it was around 2012 or 2013 when I really started re-exploring Bangla music on my own. Because I totally, like I said, I wasn't like into it. I had done it when I was little, but then I was like, I just didn't wanted nothing to do with it anymore. But he has this, and this was before Arijit Singh was Arijit Singh. He was just this like Bengali boy coming out with music. So he has this song called Chupi Chupi. It honestly isn't that big, but I listened to that, and that was kind of my first moment where I was like, wow, I really love this song, and it's in Bangla. And what is happening? And so I wouldn't say that's my favorite song because there's so many good
Of
Bangla songs,
course.
but that's kind of the song that I credit for like that.
Talking of that, what happened? Like, you say you grew up, I guess similar to me, you grew up kind of not reject. I think rejecting is a very harsh word, but it can often be you're trying so hard to be westernized. You almost kind of overlook the kind of brown side, the Bengali side, the whatever side you want to call it. What made you kind of get back in tune or want to get back in tune with Bengali side of the music or Bengali music?
So I think I've always just been really Bengali at heart. And I don't know. But yeah, I think it was just like I just wanted to fit in. So I think like what you were saying, I wasn't one of those kids. Like I know a lot of my friends or people I know that went through this that like hated being Bengali or hated being brown. I don't think I was ever like I was never like rebellious. And it was, I have a really strong Bengali community here at home. So going to celebrate certain events was always a thing. And I'm still like, I still talk to, we're all over the place now. Like we don't live in the same place and we still talk. It's like a group of six or seven of us and we still talk like regularly once a week. We Zoom together. So we're very, very tight knit here. And so I think it was very compartmentalized in my head. It was like I went to school and I was this like, like American person. And then when I came back home or when I was hanging out with my Bengali friends, I was like Bangali Deya. But it was not like a merging of identities. It was like I'm two separate people.
I relate so much to that. Just like you hearing you speak, I'm like, yep, that makes total sense to me.
Exactly. So I wasn't like rejecting or I wasn't like hating it. I just was like,
Didn't know how to bring that into and merge the two together.
exactly. I had always been interested in classical music. Like I just love music and that's just been like a constant in my life. Like no matter how like compartmentalized I was, it just didn't matter. I just wanted to learn everything about music. So I was actually in Western classical music lessons for since I was 13, and I had done Hindustani classical lessons or Bollywood music lessons when I was little. Like I said, my mom taught me Rabindrasangeet, but I wasn't able to really find a classical voice teacher who was really working for me here, so I had stopped, and then I finally was able to find one. And I think when I started learning Hindustani classical music, like Bangla music is based on like a lot of Rabindrasangeet and whatever, they're based on rags, they're based on Hindustani classical music. Like that is kind of like the sargams and everything is how Bangla music like pulls from that school of thought, right? Like it's very different than Western music. And so I think once I started learning or relearning Hindustani classical music, it's like this entire world just opened up for me. And this type of music almost musically started making sense. And I musically, as a musician, I became interested in it. And then the merging of identities as I grew older, I think both of them happened at the same time. I was musically exploring. I was probably still compartmentalized. But I like, I had found Chupi Chupi and I started finding these songs because they started musically making sense to me.
How does one find Hindustani classical music training in a Western world?
So it wasn't in the US. My teacher, my guruji, he had come from India. And so I started, and he's also Bengali. So one of the people who lives where I live, he had been her guruji, so he was visiting her on this like trip to the US. And then I just started learning from him, and then we started learning via I started learning via Skype, and then I would go and stay with him for weeks at a time. So that's kind of how that worked.
That's amazing.
So it was almost like fate. Like he literally just ended up at my house because my mom had just invited him over.
So did your mom train you in Rabindranath Sangeet throughout this period, even when you had kind of hadn't, I guess, been I say properly trained, but like before your Guruji, or was there like a gap in between the two?
There was definitely a gap. So like I was doing Western training. So like Western classical music, like Italian, opera, etc. So there was definitely a gap. I started learning when I was like Western classical when I was 13, and I would still sing at like Bangali Onushtan, right? Like when we would have it in our community, people would be like, "Oh, diya bhalo gaan gaite pare, diya ke diya ekta gaan gaate hobe," whatever. So I would always sing. Like my mom wasn't teaching me anymore. Like, well, she would have loved to, I just didn't let her. Which
Yeah,
was my fault. So yeah, I had just completely stopped, I think, from the age of 13, minus the like random things here and there I was doing.
so I guess let me ask you a slightly deeper but wider question of why music?
I've just always been inclined to it. I just love it. I don't know how it started. According to my like I said, I grew up in a household, like my mom, obviously she sings. My dad, he's not a musician, but I come from a household that really, really, really values culture. And so when I was little, it was like I was in dance class, I was in music class, like I was just doing all the things because my parents, like I was in piano class, like they just really, really value the arts. And it was like you do your homework and then you do your practice. That's all. Also should mention, like coming from immigrant parents, like they did everything. They had to make sacrifices so that they could put me in music class. Like this was not like an easy decision. And I'm thankful for it every day. But yeah, I mean, I just always loved music. I know that I was singing before I could talk. And this is really silly, and I don't know where this came from, but my mom was getting her master's, like I think on the weekends, and so I would have to, this was like when I was two, so, or one, I don't remember this. This is according to them, but so my dad would have to take care of me over the weekends when my mom would get go to school, and I was, I usually my dad worked, so I wasn't used to staying with him, so I would always cry when my mom would leave apparently, and they would just turn on the music channel on TV, and I wouldn't even notice she left. I was just so enamored by music, even from like when I was a baby.
I love that. And I think
Yeah.
it's really cool that, your parents, I think you hear a lot about, especially, South Asian parents and immigrant parents loving culture. But I think it's one thing to love culture and one thing to be okay with pursuing a career yourself, or, letting your child pursue a career in the arts in general. Did you ever kind of have any pushback when you were kind of, I guess, choosing to pursue the arts?
My mom's totally cool with it. My dad, I don't know how to describe him. He's just in his own little world. I don't think he loves it, but I think he's okay with it because, like I said, they both just really appreciate the arts. And I think if his concern is just being able to, like, especially, being immigrants, like, how can I provide for myself? How can I make this sustainable, but as long as I'm able to show him that that's possible, he doesn't really say much about it.
Obviously, thankfully, touch wood, you have been able to kind of make a living out of it. But do you think that had you not, or you would have still pursued music, or do you think it would have just been kind of a hobby that you were like, you know what, at some point I'm gonna have to just keep it as a hobby and not anything more than that?
So I actually haven't figured out the living part yet because I do work full time. So this is something I do on the side. I'm trying to make it full time
Okay.
currently. So We will see what happens. I am still working on the side full time because I do feel like I have to prove that to my dad that I can make this sustainable before I take the leap to make this completely full time. So that's still a work in progress, but it is very hard feeling like I have two full-time jobs at the same time.
I can definitely imagine. So how can we help with that? Tell us about your voice training.
So, like I said, I have basically been trained in a lot of different types of music. So I just basically pull from each of my different types of training to create my own way of training students. So, like, I've been trained in Western classical, I've been trained in Hindustani classical, I've been trained in jazz. And now I still take voice lessons every single, as a voice teacher, I want to make sure I stay on top of my own voice. And now I'm more learning from a teacher who teaches, she teaches commercial voice, but it's more about how to apply science to vocal function. So I kind of take this vast knowledge I've gained from different types of music that I've studied to kind of cater to the students that I teach, because I think going through so many different types of music training, I've noticed that like certain types of training, in my opinion, emphasize certain aspects of a musician or voice more. So, for example, like Hindustani classical training is really good at creating a very sharp ear. So, part of being a good singer and musician is about listening to something and being able to just learn it and sing it. Hindustani classical music, sargams, they really, really help with that. And I felt like my Western classical training really helped with being able to understand how the voice works, like anatomy-wise in our bodies. Like, how can we maximize our voices by doing breathing or manipulating our vowel, etc. And then jazz really taught me about the importance of style or rhythm. And so I just kind of combine all of these things and what I've learned to help my students sing. I don't teach like a certain genre. Like, if I have beginning students, usually I'll start them off with sargams because I think that's the easiest way to visualize where notes are. But other than that, if I have students who are already been trained or maybe just have a knack for music and are able to just pick up music on their own without me, having to teach them, we'll just work on vocal function and they can sing any genre as long as we work on how to sing safely and make their voice more resonant and work on ear training throughout it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And like, I don't know about how you feel now, but I Bengali music, Bangla music feels like home to me. So anytime I'm really upset, anytime I'm just kind of, I just need a moment, a breather to myself, my go-to has always been Bengali music. And that's weird because most of my childhood I grew up in the UK. So I came to the UK when I was six. So, it's a very young age, and you wouldn't assume that somebody that has would still have such a strong connection to the language or the sports, particularly the music. But going slightly on that and kind of going back to the life cycle thing, if there was a song that could describe the stage where you are in right now, what would it be?
I think I would say, and I don't know, I'm just analyzing myself at this point, why I'm drawn to certain types of songs or certain music, right? Like kind of how I talked about, I'm in this stage of life where I want to make this full time, and as any artist and musician, I totally doubt myself and I'm like, what am I doing? I dedicate so much time to this, and obviously there are sacrifices. Like I said, it's like having two full-time jobs. I feel like I'm working constantly, and that within itself is a sacrifice, right? I don't know if you know this song, Mathe Mathe Tobo Dekha Pai. And it's Rabindranath Sangeet, and it talks about like a higher power, or who it was. It's more about spirituality, and it's saying madhya madhya dabodakabai. Like, I don't always get to see that the spiritual power, have my faith, is sometimes it's clouded. Why can't I have faith that things are going to work out always? And so I think that's how I. That's going to be the song that I would use to describe myself. It's like, in mo I do doubt myself, and I'm just like, what am I doing with my life? Like, I'm crazy for feeling like I can do this full time. But then the part that keeps me going is like, no, like, I am here in this lifetime. Like, I want to do this, so I have to try. I have to try, because otherwise I will be so unfulfilled.
Can I be really cheeky and ask you to sing a like a bit from it?
Sure, I'll sing a little bit. মাঝে মাঝে তব দেখা পাই, চিরদিন কেন পাই না? মাঝে মাঝে তব দেখা পাই, চিরদিন কেন পাই না? কেন মেঘ আসে হৃদয় আকাশে, কেন মেঘ আসে হৃদয় আকাশে, তোমারে দেখিতে দেনাই? মাঝে মাঝে তব দেখা পাই, চিরদিন কেন পাই না?
That was beautiful. That totally moved me. Thank you
Oh,
so
thank you.
much.
And sorry, I have morning voice. I haven't been singing this morning, so
Your morning voice is a good place to end things for this for now. But thank you again once more. I guess I'm still very moved by that song right now, so I'm finding it hard to articulate.
oh, it's a wonderful. I don't know if have you ever heard that song before? You should definitely
I have, but I think original Rabindranath, I find it quite hard to connect with, again, purely because of the qualities that it was made in, right? Like it doesn't sound
yeah.
as new. And I think often you need somebody, or I guess I need somebody to almost cover it in a fresh voice, in a new and slightly more modern way, perhaps
Absolutely.
To kind of fall in love with it. I think that's why I always liked the kind of, I guess, the 60s and 70s, when it gets to kind of more classical ones and when it gets to more older ones, I often struggle unless it's being covered by somebody else.
So for this one, there's a great, great cover by Arnold.
Okay.
You should definitely check it out. It's so good.
I definitely will.
If you need to find me, I'm on social media as They Are Creations, or my music is Dea on Spotify, all streaming platforms. So that's Deya or Deyarcreations.
And I will definitely link all of that, just in case anyone's like, what did she say? Thank you so much.